Hello and welcome to Boring Beige Box, the weekly podcast about retro computing. I'm your host, Matt Wilson. If you like to hack away at your autoexec.bat or config.sys files just so you can play King's Quest or Ultima, you're at the right place. From 2400 baud modems to IBM PS1s, to Monkey Island 2, to the Sierra Network, we cover it all if it happened in the 80s and 90s. So clean out that garage, pull out that old boring beige box, and let's have some fun. Welcome to show number 3 for April 28th, 2006. Today's topic is the IBM PS1. Our website is www.boringbeigebox.com, and our podcast information is available at the top. When you go to that website, just click on podcast info. That's where I have all the latest show notes that you can read with links and information about today's show. Also, I definitely encourage you to shoot me an email. If you like the show, if you want to suggest any sort of topics, if you just want to chat and talk about some of the topics that I'm discussing on the show, you can send me an email directly at podcast@boringbeigebox.com. And I would definitely like to hear from you. If you enjoy the show and just want to give a shout out, send me an email. You can also get on our forums at forums.boringbeigebox.com. I really would like to get the discussion going about some of these ideas and technologies that we're discussing on the show. So definitely jump on the forums. All you have to do is register for an account, and you can chat away. Alrighty, well, today's show is all about the IBM PS1. And I'm actually out in my garage right now, and I just have to get a couple items here. I've got a couple PS1s, and I'm going to bring them inside. Let me just grab a few things here and come on in. And now I'm back in the office, and I've got a couple machines here. I usually keep most of my old stuff, all the old computers, out in the garage. It's where the wife allows me to keep them. But then I bring them in to the office downstairs and hook up whatever I'm playing with during the week. Right now I've got all IBMs. I really kind of have been on this kick about the old school IBM computers. I really have watched a lot. It's really weird, okay? The whole idea of how IBM was at the forefront. I mean, if it wasn't for IBM, we wouldn't have PCs like we have today. With the IBM PC that came out in 1980, that really started the idea of the massive acceptance of PCs, or the mass quantities, or PCs for the masses, basically. You know, if it was IBM, it had to be good. What do they say? No one ever got fired for buying IBM. All the corporations had IBMs on the desktop. So, but what happened was, is that they hit that corporate market, but they always had problems with the home market. Now, during that time, obviously, the home computers, which is what they called them, like the Commodores and the Radio Shack TRS-80s, or the all the different home computers that people used, Ataris, stuff like that. That was very popular, but IBM had a tough time breaking into that market. So what they did was, they came out, they had the IBM PC, which was popular with home users. I mean, a lot of people got those. That's how a lot of stuff started. But really the prevalence of the clones, like by Compaq and a couple of other companies, the clones actually took over the PC market. They actually, lots of times, Compaq and other companies beat IBM in a lot of advances in the PC technology. So what happened was, about 1987, IBM came out with the PS2 line, which it's really weird because you would think PS1 came before PS2, but it's the other way around. PS2 was meant Personal System 2, and this was the idea of they were wanting to get back into the home market and kind of revitalize the home PC. Now, what I've seen, I have an IBM PS2. It's a 286 model, and I think it only has like a 10 megabyte hard drive with a floppy drive on the front. Those were pretty heavily used. I've seen a lot of the IBM PS2s in schools. The whole school system, education system really latched onto those. Now, the PS1 came out in 1990. This was kind of a makeup for the failure of the PC Junior. And what happened was the PS1 was introduced, and it kind of like was not crippled, but it was a real difference between what the home user would have and what the corporate user would have. So throughout the early 90s, the IBM PS1 line, I would say, well, they discontinued it around 1994. And at that point, they changed the name to Aptiva. And I'm sure you've heard of Aptiva. The Aptiva line carried on through the year 2000. Now, I remember a lot of these being sold at Radio Shack. So IBM always was kind of like the dog of the home computer market. But for me, the IBM PS1, the first model that came out, had a little bit of significance because this was the first computer that I used at a friend of mine's house. This was an older friend of mine. I've talked about him before. His name was Andy. And he is someone that really got me into into a lot of deeper things using the PC and, you know, playing games and getting online and doing a lot of the early things with computers. So his father worked for IBM, and he had an IBM PS1. Now, this is what I'm looking at right now. It was the model that came out in 91, and I have two of them. One, now these were the all-in-one systems. This was machine type 2121. The first one was model number 2011, which was a 286 model. The later models were 386s, and then I believe maybe later 486s. These are very small computers. They're a really small form factor. There's some stuff online that you can take a look at. Obviously, Wikipedia, if you look up IBM PS1, it talks about it. There's another link I'll send you. There's not a whole lot online, actually. There is a site that shows a couple pictures of it. I will put those definitely in the show notes. If you right now on eBay, if you do a search for IBM 2121, just type in IBM 2121. There's a system up, but this guy, this system looks incredible though. It looks brand new, but he wants $100 for it. Buy it now for $99.99. And I mean, come on, I can pay $5 for these things at yard sales, but it has it. It's in its original box. It's covered. It is used, it looks like, but it looks very, very clean, and it has a monitor and everything. But yeah, just do a search for IBM 2121 on eBay, and you can see some pictures of it. Now, this was an all-in-one model, and it was meant to be for the home use on the desktop. At home. It was very, very small. That weird thing about this, and this is the problem I have, I bought this system a couple months ago, but it did not arrive to me working. I was pretty bummed out. The problem is that these models, they had the power supply built into the monitor. So because of that right away did not allow people to have their own type of monitor to hook up to the computer. So with this model that I got, I think what the problem is it's got a bad power supply. Because when I turn it on, I hook everything up, I plug it in, and I hit the power button on the front of the monitor, and it goes green for a second, but then the green light goes away and nothing comes on the screen. So if any of you guys know about this model, like I said, it's the IBM PS1 model 2121. It's the all-in-one style. It's not all-in-one. I mean, the actual computer is separate from the monitor. But if you know anything about how to fix this, definitely let me know. It's like I said, the power supply is built into the monitor. So anyway, it's not working. So I think I bought another one. So I have actually two actual computers, but I only have one monitor. So right now I'm looking at the PS1. It is a type 2121-E42. And I believe that most of these came with... let me see here. I believe they came with... they have a floppy drive on the front, and it's probably a 386. The one that I used, and maybe this same one I have, it's like a 386, 16 megahertz, you know, classic 386 machine with either 2 or 4 megabytes of RAM, and probably a very small hard drive, maybe 20 or 30 megabytes, maybe 40 megabytes. And a good old 2400 BPS modem. I'm looking at the back of it right now. So this is a great machine. What it came with, from my memory of going over to my friend Andy's house, when you booted it up, it had DOS built into ROM, DOS 4.01, and it brought up this quadrant, this four-screen quadrant, where you could... access certain parts of the operating system without ever having to see a DOS prompt. And this was, you know, pretty cool for its time. It tried to make it real easy for the end user. There are a couple of videos. I'm sure all of you know about Computer Chronicles on archive.org. If you go to archive.org and click on Moving Images, and then click on Computer Chronicles and do a search for IBM PS/1. There's a couple of different episodes that talk about the PS1. And one of the ones I found, it has a guide going through, you know, the whole everything, the four quadrant screen and any of the you know, kind of going into how things worked and everything. And it's pretty neat. It had, you know, your software. You could access your software or the operating system, or you could connect up to, there has something called the IBM Club for computer help. It had all the different software that you needed already pre-configured for you. You know, it came with Prodigy, which was a big, they were very closely tied to IBM. And I believe it had Promenade. That was the one that we used to use, that was it was the IBM version or PC version, basically, of Quantum Link at the time. This was kind of before AOL came around. So it was a great system. I remember purchasing LucasArts Monkey Island 2, and I remember buying that game 9 months before I had my own computer. So what I would do is I would take Monkey Island 2, it was on, you know, the 3.5-inch floppies, and I would go and over to Andy's house, and we installed it, and I would play at his house, and he would play and everything, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, that was the only chance I had to play that game, which I bought months before I had my own computer. Then when I finally got my own system, the 386 that I had, I also bought Ultima 7. And I still have the original receipt for that. It was like 1992, 91 or 92. I bought Ultima 7, which I'm sure most of you know is a classic origin game by Richard Garriott, the Ultima series of games. Ultima 7, The Black Gate, was my favorite RPG. It was the first computer role-playing game that I ever purchased, and I think I paid like $50 for it. I had to order a mail order. You know, where I was living, I grew up in Myrtle Beach, there were no computer game stores locally. or computer stores at all. I mean, or games, anything. I mean, nowadays you have EB Games on every corner, you know, Best Buy, they have every game imaginable you can buy now, or even Target. Target and Walmart have tons of computer games. But back in the day, it was very hard. If you lived in a small town, you had to order it through mail order. I remember, and a lot of you probably remember this, there's a company called Chips and Bits, which you could mail order games from that were always in the computer game magazine. So I had a computer game magazine called Computer Game Review and Chips and Bits. I would constantly just scour over the titles and see how much they were and thinking about how much it would cost to buy it. And, you know, back in the day, lots of times the games you got, you just downloaded from bulletin board systems, or, you know, you traded with friends and stuff. But there were some games that I really wanted badly, and I was not going to wait for three days of downloading off of or AOL, you know, wares or whatever. I'm like, I've got to get this game. So Ultima 7, I bought that. And that, it's amazing because at that time, you really didn't think about it, but Ultima 7 was one of the greatest computer role-playing games of all time. I mean, I really think that Ultima Online didn't happen happened because of Ultima 7. If you look at the similarities, a lot of stuff that was developed in Ultima 7 followed over to Ultima Online. They were very close in development, and are just by a couple years, and a lot of it looked the same. So anyway, let's get back to the PS1. So when I bought Ultima 7, I had it at my house. I played it on my computer, and I let Andy borrow it, and he would play it on his computer, on his IBM PS1. So, and that was a really early time. He was the only guy that I knew that was into computers a lot. And so both of us would get on the Sierra Network, and we would mess with people or talk to girls and stuff like that. And, it was a lot of fun. So those are basically kind of my memories, my recollections of the IBM PS1. It was a great system. I think those early days were very adventuresome. I mean, this was a time when you spent a lot of time trying to get your computer games to run. If you were a big gamer, you spent so much time tweaking your autoexec file and your config.sys file just to get those games to run. I mean, you spent so much time, you know, was it expanded memory? Was it extended memory? You know, and tweaking the memory values so you get it to run. I mean, I remember sometimes just wiping my entire hard drive and not doing anything. It was just DOS and that one game that I wanted to run. You know, so this is where I began to cut my teeth on a lot of that. When I got my first system, it was DOS 5.0, and I had the huge manual, and I spent hours just reading all the commands and learning how to use it. And it's changed a lot since then. You know, every kid that gets on a computer, it's just Windows, it works. You know, I think that kids really start to learn how to do things, but it takes a lot more time, and they just don't dig into the guts of the computer much anymore. So, anyway, the IBM PS1 was, like I said, discontinued about 1994. You know, I think it probably sold well. It was proprietary in some areas, so it was hard to do upgrades. There's the other model I have here. I have another one that is it's very rectangular and boxy. The other model I have, the top part, let me see what model this is. It's also machine type 2121. This one is bigger though. And thicker. This, it looks like double the size than the other one. This one has this one I'm looking at now, the double size one, is probably the one you'll see pictures of online. It's got the 3.5 floppy in this top part, and it has vents. It looks like air vents on the front or something. And then on the bottom, it's an attachment that has the 5.25 floppy on the bottom part. So it's like two separate units. So it sits really, really tall. It looks funny because it's like a squashed box that sits really tall on the desk with the monitor on top of it. It's got a button on the top, and I think that this, yeah, this causes the, for you to take the lid off, which is very difficult to do. The bottom part here with the 5 1/4 floppy, all it houses is just the floppy. And somehow that connects to the top machine. So it's kind of like an expansion pack. So I'm going to try to get... Oh, yep. Okay, I've got the lid off of it. And this is the model that are... The whole PS2, PS1 lines, and this started with the IBM PS2, have these little, like, blue locking gears or something, so you don't need any screws, so it's real modular. You can, if you, one of their Computer Chronicles episodes has John Dvorak on there, and he just rips apart a IBM PS2. But there's these little key, these, like, blue, like, key things that you can stick in to lock the different modules. This one I'm looking at here has a MaxTor hard drive, and it is a whopping 80 megabytes, manufactured by IBM Corp. Yep, 80 megabytes. You can get a lot of stuff on there, a lot of text files, right? And it has a actually has a US Robotics modem in it, and it's ISA bus, and I don't know what speed it is, but I'm guessing it says copyright 1994, so I'm guessing it's either 2400 baud or 9600 baud. Let's see what else here. It's got a very large AcuLogic. It looks like a RAM board. It's got four. I believe those are. I can't remember my memory, but it's either they're not SIMs, but there's something else. I can't remember. So it's got a board of the RAM there, and so I guess the RAM wasn't directly on the motherboard. It has two modems. The built-in 2400 baud modem, and it looks like they added the US Robotics Sportster. Sure, you remember those. They added that in. And then there's the floppy drive in the front. And that was it. That's all you need. It's just your processor, your RAM, your hard drive, floppy drive, and a modem. That's all you need. So anyway, so that's the IBM PS1. I would love to get this working. I really am disappointed that... the monitor doesn't work, but I'm going to probably take it apart and figure out how to fix that. If it is the... Let me get this back on here. If it is the power supply, I definitely will try to replace it or do something, but I think I saw some where you could buy replacements for the power supply, and they were like charging like $60 or something. I'm like, that's way too expensive. So anyway, I will hopefully get one of those IBM PS1s working. Well, that's about it for the show this week. This show is a little bit shorter than last week. I am very appreciative of everyone that has downloaded the program and listened to it. Definitely give me some feedback. I know, like I said, last week's show was pretty long, and I hope you made it through the show. But definitely shoot me an email. Tell me what you think of the show. Give me, just if you like it, just give me some praise, or either if you have got some tips for me, I'm definitely open to that. But if you use an IBM PS1, shoot me an email. Tell me your memories about using the PS1. Or any of the early IBM machines from the late 80s, early 90s. I would definitely like to talk about it. So, all right, well, thank you for listening, and have a great week.